taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Maybe he'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. That's right, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Why? So we can return the Constitution and our governments to its rightful owner, the people of the United States of America. I'm hoping you're here to learn. I'm hoping you're here to engage. And mostly, I'm hoping you're here to figure out what you can do to make things better. Back in the 1800s, Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting this country, said, "The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money." Sadly, Congress has figured that out, and sadly, the American people are complicit. See, Noah Webster, in his 1828 dictionary, defined bribery as the act or practice of giving or taking rewards for corrupt practices. The act of paying or receiving a reward for a false judgment or testimony, or for the performance of that which is known to be illegal or unjust. It is applied both to him who gives and to him who receives a compensation, but appropriately to the giver. So, what did Alexis de Tocqueville mean when he said that the Congress would be able to bribe the public with the public's money? Well, if we take a little quick look at Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, we see the powers that Congress has. Now, Clause 1 says, "The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay for the debts, and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, excises shall be uniform throughout the United States." So, Congress can lay and collect taxes for a few specific purposes. One, to pay the debts. Okay, the debt of the United States, that's a whole other program. But Congress can collect taxes to pay the debts. They can provide for the common defense. That's one of the things they can do. And they can promote the general welfare of the United States. Not of the people, not of the several states, of the United States, of the Union. In other words, the general welfare of the federal government. And these taxes, duties, imposts, and excises are supposed to be uniform throughout the United States. So when Congress collects taxes for something other than paying the debts, providing for the common defense, or the general welfare of the Union, well, they're breaking the law. What they're doing is unjust and illegal. So how does Congress get away with it? We'll get that to a second. Now, Clause 2 says Congress has the power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Again, that's a whole nother program, but we need to understand that part of this bribery involves borrowing money in the name of the people to pay off the people. Now, if you go down a little farther, we see in Clause 7 that Congress has the power to establish post roads and post offices. And down in Clause 16, it says to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenal, dockyards, and other needful buildings. So if we put these together, what do we see? We see Congress can collect taxes to, again, pay the debts, which they are allowed to borrow against the United States, to pay for the common defense, the general welfare. They can establish post roads and post offices. And they can exercise authority over forts, magazines, and federal buildings. These are all legitimate acts of Congress. They are all something Congress can spend money on, because that's considered the post offices, post roads, federal buildings, federal lands. These are all the general welfare of the United States, of the federal government, of the Union. Anything else is illegal and unjust. Pure and simple. And when Congress gives something of value, whether it be money or a program, in order to be allowed to do something illegal, unjust, it's a bribe. And that bribe counts against both the giver, meaning the people in Congress, and the recipient. So that means we, the American people, are just as guilty of taking bribes as Congress has been of giving bribes. And in fact, if we take a quick look around, we'll see the vast majority of what the federal government does, it does via bribery and extortion. In fact, most of the things free-minded people complain about the government, it implements via bribery and extortion. And the extortion usually is the cutting off of the bribe funds. Now, what has brought all this around? Well, it's the infrastructure bill, which is actually just one in a long line of spending bills that, you know, the old saying, you know, Congress spends money like a drunken sailor. They spend money in a way that even drunken sailors wouldn't on their worst day. Now, Congress wanting to spend money on infrastructure, and I put that in scare quotes, well, it's really nothing new. See, back in March of 1787, President Madison vetoed an infrastructure bill. You see, Congress had sent a bill to his desk that was called, quote, an act to set apart and pledge certain funds for internal improvements. In other words, an infrastructure bill. What was it do? It was for constructing roads and canals and improving the navigation of water courses in order to facilitate, promote, and give security to internal commerce among the several states and to render more easy and less expensive the means of provision for the common defense. In other words, Congress said, we can spend this money because, well, we're trying to make interstate commerce easier. We're trying to improve commerce among the states. We want a method to more easily and cheaply provide for the common defense. Therefore, we should be allowed to do this. Now, again, we're only talking about James Madison, known as the father of the Bill of Rights. And as president, he looked at this, and he had a veto statement. He sent a letter to Congress. He's required by the Constitution to tell the House that originated this why he is vetoing it, why he refuses to sign it. And he sent a letter explaining some of his reasons. He said, the legislative power vested in Congress are specified and enumerated in the 8th section of the first article of the Constitution. And it does not appear that the power proposed to be exercised by the bill is among the enumerated powers or that it falls by any just interpretation within the power to make laws necessary and proper for carrying into execution those or other powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States. In other words, James Madison said, listen, it's not that what you want to do is wrong. It's not that what you want to do is bad, I should say. You're just not legally allowed to do that. He goes on, the power to regulate commerce among the several states cannot include a power to construct roads and canals and to improve the navigation of water courses in order to facilitate, promote, and secure such a commerce without a latitude of construction departing from the ordinary import of the term strengthened by the known inconveniences which doubtless led to the grant of this remedial power to Congress. In modern English, just because you want to do it doesn't mean the Constitution lets you. And no logical, rational reading of the Constitution would give Congress the power to simply construct roads, canals, and improve the waterways. No reading of the Commerce Clause says Congress has the power to spend money to do this. He went on to say, to refer the power in question to the clause to provide for the common defense and general welfare would be contrary to the established and consistent rules of interpretation, as rendering the special and careful enumeration of powers which follow the clause nugatory and improper. Such a view of the Constitution would have the effect of giving to Congress a general power of legislation instead of the defined and limited one hitherto understood to belong to them, the terms the common defense and general welfare embracing every object and act within the purview of a legislative trust. It would have the effect of subjecting both the Constitution and laws of the several states in all cases not specifically exempt to be superseded by laws of Congress. It being expressly declared, quote, that the Constitution of the United States and laws made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. In other words, to treat the general welfare and defense clauses as carte blanche to do whatever Congress wants would put Congress not only over the states, but over the Constitution itself. It would literally make Congress an uncontrollable body. It could do whatever it could, whatever a majority of people, of delegates, would allow. Now, James Madison concluded with this paragraph, "I am not unaware of the great importance of roads and canals and the improved navigation of watercourses, and that a power in the national legislature to provide for them might be exercised with signal advantage to the general prosperity. But seeing that such a power is not expressly given by the Constitution, and believing that it cannot be deduced from any part of it without an inadmissible latitude of construction and a reliance on insufficient precedents, believing also that the permanent success of the Constitution depends on a definite partition of powers between the general and the state governments, and that no adequate landmarks would be left by the constructive extension of the power of Congress as proposed in the bill, I have no option but to withhold my signature from it, and to cherish the hope that its beneficial objects may be attained by a resort for the necessary powers to the same wisdom and virtue in the nation which established the Constitution in its actual form and providently marked out in the instrument itself a safe and predictable mode of improving it as experience might suggest." In other words, James Madison knows that, you know, roads, canals, infrastructure, these are all important, but that doesn't make it a national issue. It doesn't make it a federal issue. And just because it's important, just because it's beneficial, doesn't mean it's something that Congress can legally do. There is no power expressly given by the Constitution for Congress to do that. And in fact, the Constitution and the 10th Amendment specifically forbids Congress from doing that. It says any power not delegated to the United States by this Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, remain with the states respectively, or to the people. So by exercising powers that are not authorized in the Constitution, Congress is breaking the law. They're violating the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. But we've gone so far away from what the Constitution actually says. Most people are so ignorant of what the Constitution actually says. They look at this and say, well, gee, it'll be good. They'll fix my roads. Maybe they'll get rid of some of these potholes. Maybe they'll build that new bypass. I'll get something good for it. So I'm going to accept the bribe of the infrastructure, the promised improvements of roads and bridges and tunnels and whatnot. That is the bribe. They will let Congress do what it is legally forbidden to do because they're going to get something out of it. Think about that when you get that next stimulus check. Or think about that when you pass the road construction there's a sign out there about funded by the infrastructure bill. You've accepted a bribe. That makes you just as guilty as those in Congress for the mess. So here we are. They're proposing, what, somewhere between, I've seen numbers, $1.7, $1.9 trillion dollars. A trillion is 1,000 billion. It is a million dollars. And they're going to spend it on stuff that they're not legally allowed to. In other words, they're going to bribe the people to get their votes to allow them to exercise a power they are not legally authorized to. You're going to bribe the people with their own money. And if you think that this quote-unquote infrastructure bill is only going to be money spent on infrastructure, Yeah, it's laughable. I mean, based on some of the reports of that I've seen, of the, I guess, approximately $1.9 trillion, that's $1.9 million. I mean, the number is staggering. Of that 1.9, of that $1,900 billion, 621 is actually spent on transportation infrastructure. Yeah, 621 out of 1,900. Now, if I do a little bit of math, that comes out to roughly a third. In other words, just under a third of the infrastructure bill is going to be spent on transportation infrastructure. What are they spending it on? Let's see. $174 billion to put up 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations. $80 billion goes to Amtrak. $115 billion is going to roads and highway maintenance. Another 85 to modernizing public transportation. They have things like infrastructure resiliency. It's $50 billion for infrastructure resiliency. They want to upgrade airports for $25 billion. They want to improve road safety for $20 billion. And they want to connect neighborhoods historically cut off by investment for $20 billion. I wonder what that is. And, of course, there's another $17 billion for inland waterways, coastal ports, land of entry ports, ferries. In other words, exactly the stuff that James Madison said Congress has no constitutional authority to actually spend money on. So, again, $621 billion is going to actual transportation. Another $650 billion is going for what they call quality of life. They want to spend $213 billion to retrofit 2 million homes and commercial properties. With what? For what? They want $100 billion to expand high-speed broadband. Now, trust me, I live out in the boonies. I'd love to have better broadband. I know the federal government's not the way to pay for it. They want to spend $100 billion upgrading public schools. Excuse me, public schools are state functions, not federal functions. These are illegal spending of money, and you're accepting the bribe. $111 billion for water infrastructure, $100 billion to improve the electric grid. Excuse me, the electric grid is not federal property. $40 billion for public housing, $27 billion for clean energy, another $25 billion for upgrading child care facilities. Really? $18 billion for VA hospitals and clinics. Hey, I found something in the infrastructure bill that the federal government's actually legally allowed to pay for. VA hospitals and clinics. Those are federal buildings to pay for our veterans from the military that the federal government has authorized, the Congress has authorized to pay for. $16 billion to plug oil and gas wells. $12 billion on community college infrastructure. $10 billion on federal building modernization. Okay, hey, we got another $10 billion. That's $28 billion so far that I found that actually Congress is allowed to spend money on. And then another $10 billion for new workers in public lands and water. That's what they're spending the money on. Now, there's another $400 billion for caregivers for elderly and disabled. Where, tell me, in the Constitution, does the federal government have anything to do with caregivers for the elderly and disabled? Now, just like Madison, it's not that I don't think that's a good idea. I just know that it is illegal for Congress to do that. And then another $300 billion is going to be spent on research, development, and manufacturing. Now, Congress has no power, is not legally allowed to spend money on research. They are allowed to protect with copyrights and patents, but they are not legally allowed to spend money to fund research. Now, I'm sure someone out there will quote Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7, I believe, which says, to promote the progress of science and useful arts. But as Paula Harvey said, what's the rest of the story? Because that says to do so by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right of their respective writings and discoveries. In other words, patents and copyrights. Not spending money for grants. Not spending money for domestic manufacturing, $52 billion for green energy, or $48 billion for American workforce development and worker protection, $40 billion to upgrade research infrastructure and laboratories, $35 for technology addressing the of climate change, $50 for new office to monitor domestic industrial capacity, $50 billion to monitor something Congress has no legal authority to monitor. Another $50 to the National Science Foundation. Guess what? Another entity not legally authorized. $46 billion for clean energy manufacturing. $40 billion for dislocated worker program. $31 billion for programs in R&D for small businesses. $30 billion for preventing future pandemics. $28 billion just on other. $20 for regional information hubs, and another $10 billion for R&D and whatever HBCUSs are. I have no idea. So of the $1,900 billion that Congress wants to spend of your money, I've found in this quick list $28 billion that they are legally authorized to spend money on. That is roughly 1.5%. And the American people, by accepting this, are just as guilty of accepting the bribe as those in Congress are for giving it. This is what Alexis de Tocqueville warned us about. The republic is being destroyed because Congress has figured out that they can bribe the American public with their own money, and the American public are not only accepting it, they're begging for it. I went through the list. How many of these programs did you support? Did you tell people you wanted? Were you excited about? Are you waiting for? You're there with your hand out waiting for a bribe. You want to know why the U.S. budget is out of control? Because the American people are accepting bribes. And trust me, politicians and pundits are more than happy to give you the bribe to get what they want. Don't believe me? Listen to this tweet from New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Paid leave is infrastructure. Child care is infrastructure. Caregiving is infrastructure. Really? According to whom? Because I have yet to find a dictionary where infrastructure includes things like paid leave and child care. But you see, that's what Senator Gillibrand wants. She wants paid leave. She wants the federal government to pay for you to have leave, to pay for your child care, to pay for caregiving. I believe she wants that because she honestly believes that being a servant of the federal government is the best way to live as long as she's in charge. And she's willing to say whatever she has to in order to get that money to turn you into a serf. To turn you into a slave, a servant of the federal government rather than its master. This bribery isn't innocuous. It's not unimportant. This is the selling of American liberty, American rights, American freedom, and the freedom of your children for some goodies. This is bribery. And this is what the American people apparently want. They are more than willing to take rewards for corrupt practices. They're more than willing to receive a reward for a false judgment or for the performance of something that is illegal or unjust as long as they get their goodies. America has become a corruptocracy, where laws don't matter. The Constitution doesn't matter. It's just an impediment to get what we want. And as long as the American people keep getting their palms greased, they're more than willing to let those in Washington and their state houses get away with bribery and criminal acts, because the American people are just as guilty as those in Congress. We just don't want to hear it. Speaking of hearing, you know that America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player and from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in world in class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa. And now you can stream. We stream 24/7, so you can listen to these programs on podcasts as well as live. And if you want to find out more about the Constitution Study and what we're doing, please head over to the website constitutionstudy.com and find out more. And join me after the break for some more information about how we have become the bribery-based corruptocracy that we are.
Five incredible years, and we're just getting started. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, it also flies by when you're on a mission of love. Love of country, that is. Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. AmericaOutloud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Everyday Americans.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. That's right, we're at the Constitution Study, where we're looking to the Constitution. We're reading and studying. We're going back to the document to see if all this nonsense that's going on is actually legal. So far, we've been talking about the infrastructure bill and the bribery that it is. But it's not the only case of bribery. It's not the only example of the federal government bribing the American people and the American people being more than willing to sit back and let it happen. More than willing to accept the bribe, to get their palm greased, to ignore the law, ignore their responsibility, make themselves and their children servants of government as long as they get their goodies. For example, Chuck Schumer wants Biden to pay out $50,000 in debt per student. He wants to pay off $50,000 of student loan debt. Now, let's start with the basic fact. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows the federal government to lend money for education. That the federal government has no legal business doing anything with education. And now what's happening? Oh, you know, we had the federal government encouraging students to borrow money to go to school. Can't afford college? Well, you got to go to college. College is great. College is exactly what you need. We have no clue what you are. We have no clue what you know. We have no clue what your plans for the future are, but you got to go to college. And guess what? We'll lend you the money to do it. the borrower is subject to the lender. So now what do they want to do? Now they want to start paying off this. They want to forgive the student loan debt. You borrowed money. You entered into a contract, but we're not going to hold you to it. We'll give you this little bribe. We'll start with $50,000. Yeah, sure, we'll pay off that debt. We will take those who spent foolishly. We will pay off their mistakes. But those who have lived wisely, they get nothing. Now, understand, if you went into debt for a career that truly requires a collegiate education, doctors, lawyers, engineers, things that really require that level of education, and you made the rational decision, you looked at the cost of going to college and the cost of servicing the student loan and what you would make in the future, and you said, this is a smart move, I have no problem with that. That's your decision. In fact, I have no problem with anybody that borrows money. You want to borrow money to go to college to study underwater basket weaving? Hey, be my guest. But don't expect me to pay the bills for you. Don't expect me to give you a job that will pay that off simply because you were foolish enough to borrow that money, regardless of your prospects. And to have the federal government forgive that, to take the money of the American people and throw it away, is criminal. But why do they want to do it? Because they want to bribe the American people to be dependent on the government. I remember, and this is nothing new, I remember many, many years ago, we were at a friend's house, and this person was very, very upset because the government was actually going to expect them to pay off the student loan. Borrowed money, signed a contract, and now they were mad because the government was actually expecting them to pay off the loan they promised to pay off. They're enfeebling the American people. Because now, not only do the American people borrow money from the government, now a lot of them are expecting the government to forgive the loan. They're expecting the American people to pay for their education. Not simply lend them money to do so and expect some sort of return on it. No, they expect it to get paid off for nothing. They want the bribe. They want the reward for a corrupt practice. So whenever you see somebody in government messing with this with a contract, like a student loan, understand they are trying to bribe the American people with their own money. Or here's another one. Biden directs $1.7 billion to combat new COVID variants. Well, okay, let's stop for just a second. Again, we want to go back to the Constitution to see if what these people are saying is so. So here's my first question. Does Joe Biden have the legal authority to redirect funds? See, Article 1, Section 7, Clause 1 says, all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. Now, part of the problem we have is that we've allowed Congress to disconnect the raising of revenue from what they pay, what they do with that revenue. Now, if Congress wants to spend money on something, they should collect taxes for that, and that should be, in my mind, the same bill. But notice, it's Congress that is in charge of raising revenue, and it is Congress that is in charge of spending the money. See, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7, I believe, says, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriation made by law and a regular statement of account and of receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. So the only way the federal government can spend money is based on a law of an appropriation made by law. So let me ask you, Mr. President, Where is the appropriation made by law that allows you to direct $1.7 billion to combat something that the federal government's not legally authorized to deal with? Look through Article 1, Section 8. There is nothing about health care in that law. And in fact, look through the whole Constitution. There is nothing that authorizes the federal government to do anything with health care. So again, we have a president apparently illegally reallocating funds, at least questionably, for an illegal process authorized by a law that Congress had no legal authority to make. But you see, we're giving money to combat the scary COVID. We're going to give you something. We're going to bribe you with a reward for letting us do whatever the heck we want. Constitution and law be damned. Oh, but it's for the general welfare because it's going to help all 50 states, except it's not the general welfare of the United States. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says general welfare of the United States, not of the several states. And again, it's not that spending money on combating COVID is inherently a bad thing. It's just illegal for the federal government to do it. So when the federal government says, well, we should do it and we'll pay for it with your money, they're bribing you to exercise a power that is unjust, illegal. And when you allow that, you are complicit. Every time the federal government spends money on something it's not authorized to, and the people allow that to happen, allow their representatives to collect taxes for that purpose, you are complicit in bribery. When I was researching my book, I found a website that lists all of the executive agencies. And after weeding out the stupid, you know, this place actually listed the states as agencies of the executive branch. Weeding out nonsense like that, weeding out duplicates. There was something on the order of 500 agencies, individual executive agencies. And I went through them one by one. And you know what? I could only find constitutional justification for about 10% of them. That means that 90% of what the federal government does, because it's the executive branch that executes the laws, 90% is illegal, paid for with bribes from the American people, bribing them with their own money. And this goes on and on. And again, once Congress figured out that by promising goodies to the American people would let them get away with anything, we watched the Republic disintegrate. Biden is also releasing $39 billion from the stimulus package to address child care crisis. Well, first of all, the stimulus package is illegal. It is the federal government taking money from you to give back to you for illegal purposes. And of course, they're taking the cut off the top. So the stimulus packages, all of them, are illegal. I don't have the exact numbers, but if memory serves, of the, was it $1.7 trillion stimulus package was the last one, only about $500 billion actually ended up in the hands of the American, was actually stimulus to the American people. Most of it apparently was paying off states for the losses they had by basically interning their own people illegally. In other words, we're going to pay off the states for criminally acting against their people, and the federal government's going to bail them out, give them a check for it. And now, President Biden, apparently illegally, since again, even if the stimulus package authorized it, that's not illegal. But if the stimulus package didn't authorize him to spend money on childcare, that's fraud. That's embezzlement. We have a president of the, and again, he's not the first. But it certainly is beginning to look like we have a president of the United States who's embezzling money to bribe the American people Because what? The American people don't want to pay for their own child care. If child care is a crisis, it's because the American people don't want to pay for child care. They want someone else to pay for child care. Now, when my wife and I got married, we decided, we sat down and had a rational conversation and said, you know what? We are not going to have, we don't want to have children until one of us can stay home to raise them. We didn't define who, although it was pretty much expected to be my wife. But we recognized that not only is it expensive to put a child in childcare, it's not what's best for them. What's best for his child, especially a small child, is to be raised by their parents, not by some stranger you're paying to do it. Now, that meant we went several years before we had our child, our daughter. It may also mean that we didn't have other children because we waited. I won't know till I get to heaven. But we made a rational decision about the method that we wanted to use to raise our children, and we accepted that. Sure, we had family help out, right? We'd have, you know, grandparents would watch her from time to time. My sister, my wife's sister, you know, we'd have aunts and uncles, cousins would watch her. We'd have friends that would watch her. We got help, and there's nothing wrong with help. There's nothing wrong, especially with family, getting together and helping someone raise their child. But not only did we not send her to daycare, we sent her to a day camp for several years, and we paid for it. We never asked someone else to pay for it. So if you're getting the government to subsidize your childcare, you're just accepting another bribe. We'll give you childcare with your own money in exchange for letting us do what we're not legally authorized to do. Are you sensing a trend here? Are you sensing this? The government gets its power because the American people are accepting the bribe of that they'll get something for it. And apparently, I guess Joe Biden has sent a $1.5 trillion budget request for the 2022 fiscal year to Congress. I'm kind of curious where that's going. Because from reports I've seen, there's going to be $769 billion going to things like Department of Education, Department of Energy, Department of Housing and Urban Development, none of which are authorized by the Constitution. So those are all three illegal departments, each and every one of them. So he's requesting money for Department of Defense, and that's fine because that's the military, and Congress is authorized to fund the military. But of the $1.5 trillion, about half of it is going towards programs to departments that are illegal. Not simply unconstitutional, they're illegal. They're a violation of the supreme law of the land. They are stealing from the states their rights to control their own education, their own energy policy, their own housing policy. This is the federal government bribing the people to steal their rights. And all people seem to be concerned about so far is, well, how much money is being spent? Not where it's being spent. Why? Because we've consented to bribes. We've consented to the idea that the federal government will provide for us. That it's not only that they're allowed, this is their responsibility to take care of us. Like we're their little slaves, little servants, doing what we're told. Now, for as long as I can remember, this has been how it is done. This is the state of affairs that we've inherited from, at least from my previous generation. But my generation's taken it farther. to the point where nothing, it seems, the federal government does, it does without having to bribe somebody. And I know I've used that term a lot in this episode because I want people to understand what we're talking about is not fiscal policy, financial policy, economic policy. We're talking about bribery. We're talking about those in government giving the people rewards to do something unjust and illegal, to corrupt the Constitution, to corrupt and steal from the states their rights. You know, with the 16th and 17th Amendment that were ratified in 1913, we neutered the states. We removed from them the power to stand up to the federal government and to protect us from an ever-growing federal bureaucracy. And then once the federal government started handing out money like it was candy, we simply take the bribe and go about our business. The problem is not Washington. Washington, D.C. is the symptom. Washington, D.C. is bribing the American people because we've taught them that's how you keep your job. When was the last time you saw an elected official send out, do a commercial or send out a mailer talking about how constitutional their votes have been compared to, well, how much money they brought in, how many programs they supported for you, or how many programs did they defeat for you? Not because they were unconstitutional, but because they didn't like them. They were from the other party. This mess is our fault because the character of our Congress is our responsibility. We are responsible for the 15 to 30% approval rating of Congress. And until we recognize that, it'll never get fixed. Vote for whatever politician you want. Vote for whatever program you want. Support whatever policy you want. Until we recognize that we are responsible for Congress and we have to take control of our representatives in Congress, this never gets better. In the latest example of your taxes are going up, Treasury Secretary Yellen says the Biden administration wants a global minimum tax rate. You say, what does that have to do with bribery, Paul? Well, let's take a look at this. See, there's a reason why the wealthy and corporations move their operations out of the United States. There's a reason why companies move to Mexico and to China and to Vietnam. Because it's cheaper. I remember reading somewhere that it is now cheaper for chicken farmers in Texas to ship their chickens to China to have them butchered and then shipped back than it is to actually butcher them in the United States. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true. I don't know. But has it gotten to the point where it's so expensive to do business in the United States that it's cheaper to have your chickens slaughtered overseas? Why do you think so much of the clothing is made in Asia? And it's interesting because it's moving out of China into Vietnam and Cambodia because it's cheaper. Because the tax rates there, sure, you've got labor costs and stuff, but what the government cares about is tax rates. See, if you're a company in the United States and you're paying, 35% of your profits go to pay an income tax, and then you suddenly decide, you know what, I'm going to move to Cambodia, wherever, and maybe the tax is only 10% or 15%. Well, that's a bottom line improvement for the people that own the company, right? And, oh, by the way, this isn't even dealing with the regulations and labor costs and all that, just the taxes. So rather than recognizing people are leaving the United States because, in part, because our tax policy makes it more difficult to do business here, the tyrants and totalitarians want to force others to get other countries to agree to raise their taxes, to further cripple businesses, to raise the price of goods and services for everyone so that they get their paychecks. Why do they want their taxes? Why is California trying so hard to make sure the people who leave California to avoid paying the taxes actually leaving California? Because these greedy people want your money and the power that comes with it. Because they realize they need your money to bribe you. And if there's a way for someone to avoid taxes and they allow it, well, they don't get their money. This is simply saying, we don't want competition. We don't want a fair playing field. We want to make sure that everybody is just as corrupt as we are so that we don't have to worry about someone leaving our corruptocracy for some place where they may be more free. If we are to survive as a republic, we need to take control of our servants in Congress. And that should start with stopping the bribery. Is it going to cost you something? Yes. When we declared independence, the men that signed that document swore to each other, they pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. What will you pledge to the freedom of your children? Will you pledge to work to regain control of government at the state, federal, and local levels? Will you pledge to terminate these bribes, to give you rewards and goodies in exchange for letting the government act as a corruptocracy? Will you look into your children's eyes and say, sure, I could have made this a better country for you, but I wanted my money. I wanted my program. I wanted my child care. I wanted my health care. I wanted my Social Security. And the dirty little secret that nobody seems to talk about is if there's a way to fund these programs, if health care and child care and elder care are so important, why do we pick the absolute worst method of funding them? There's several organizations that rank charities. And the general rule is if more than 30% of the money the charity collects goes to administration, it's a scam. And in fact, most good charities, it's 10% or less. Yet we see study after study of the charity, the welfare, government programs. 70% goes to overhead. You take $100 billion to feed the poor, and only $30 billion actually gets to the poor. If you want to provide for your elderly family, if you want to provide for healthcare, if you want to provide for education, the worst way to do it is through the government. They are the least efficient method of doing anything, except maybe creating bureaucracies and taking your money. So if, as Madison noted, these are good things, but they're not legally authorized for the federal government, why do we continue to let them do it? Why do we not stand up and say, no, that is not, we did not consent to that. Therefore, that is an unjust power. Well, the main reason is because we have no protection at home. That's why I plead, I urge you, meet with your sheriff, meet with your county board, meet with those and make sure they are there to protect your rights. Because if your rights aren't protected at home, you can be, what's going to happen when you focus in your state capital or in Washington, D.C.? The good news is a growing group of Americans are realizing the mess that's happened. They're realizing the corruptocracy we're living with. They're realizing that government is out of control. If you want to find out more, please head to the website constitutionscholars.com. That's with an S, scholars. Not only will you find a library of books and videos that will help, you will find others that are interested in both the federal constitution and in the different state constitutions. Join your state's group and find others that are interested. Read, study, be involved. But recognize, you're not alone. But we must all learn to stand to hang together. Or as Franklin said, we will all hang separately. So get involved, get engaged, find out more about my show and get all the latest podcasts. Go to the menu at AmericaOutloud.com. Look under shows. You'll find the Constitution Study and all these wonderful shows. And you can be not only in the know, you can not only know there's a problem, you can be part of the solution. But that only happens if you actually get up and get engaged and join us. And I hope that you'll join me here next time on the Constitution Study.